Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is chapter 32 in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 32. Now, this book has to do with on the east side of the Jordan. Amen? Is that what it is?
Yes.
All right. So, some of the tribes had so much cattle and herds that they saw that the land on the east side of the Jordan was about the only stretch of land that would be able to accommodate all the cattle that they had. But nevertheless, the Lord was going to allow them to live there and graze their cattle and their herds and also their flocks there. But that didn't relieve them from having to join together with the rest of the people from Israel to go in to invade and conquer the promised land. They would leave their children and their wives there on the other side of Jordan, but they still had to go and fight. And I think this chapter really shows everyone that even though we may have a work in Los Angeles, as we do, and one in a couple of them in Arkansas, and then in New Jersey, and then distributors all over the world, and churches in many parts of the world, that this doesn't relieve us from fighting the same battle. We must all join together because we're the minority in the world, and if we are not, we have no one but God, and we have no one but ourselves. And so we all have to fight the good fight of faith. If one of us is in trouble, then we have to come to the defense of that person, that one, and pray for them and also to aid them in any way, assist them in any way that we can, so that they won't become bitter and fall away. And so other than that, this chapter is pretty much in that regard. They all have said, okay, you can have the land, but you've got to go in and fight with the rest of them. At first, they thought that they wanted to not go into the promised land and fight, but that wasn't their purpose at all. And it was made very clear to them that they had to go in and fight. So let's ask the Lord to bless and to anoint this chapter, Numbers 32. Father, we ask that you anoint it, and Lord, give me the express, exact words to say on it, to comment on this chapter, Father, so that everyone that hears the tape will have the power by the Spirit that you anoint this chapter with to stand another day in faith in this wicked world as little lambs, sheep among wolves. Lord, teach us all things and guide us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Numbers chapter 32, the tribes east of the Jordan. King James Version, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Verse 2, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, verse 3, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimra and Heshbon and Eleala and Shebam and Nebo and Beon. Verse 4, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Verse 6,
yeah, immediately they thought, hey, bring us not over Jordan, that's where all the enemies are over there. What are you talking about, you coward? You coward or something? That's what they're saying, all right? Then what?
And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Verse 7, and wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?
Yeah, why you not want to go over Jordan here and take the promised land? What are you, yellow bellies? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land.
Yeah, that's what caused you, your fathers did that. That's what caused them to have to stay out in the wilderness for 40 years. 38 more years on top of the two that they'd already been out there. Is that what you want? Some more of this or more curses from God? Then what?
Verse 9. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them.
So what you're trying to do here is discourage all the people from going in again? Is that what you're trying to do? In other words, you don't want to fight the good fight of faith. You want to turn your eyes away from the battle at hand. And like so many people do today, that's why there's so many Christians being persecuted, because they don't stick together. They want to live on the east side of Jordan and expect to get into the kingdom of heaven, even though this wasn't their intention, but that's what a lot of people do. And no one, I know that we've been in terrible. People know that we were of the Lord and that we still are, because we preach the word exactly as it says and even elaborate on it more than any commentaries that I've ever known. And yet, when we, when the enemy is attacking us, there's nobody that seems to be Christians that wants to jump in and help us. But thank God we have God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So that I don't worry about it. I know God has delivered me. Amen?
Amen.
And this church, the people that remain, the people that haven't fallen away, the people that haven't thrown in the towel, so to speak. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, verse 11.
So the Lord thought that that's what they wanted to, or his anger wouldn't have been kindled. Amen? Then what?
Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Verse 12, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord.
Okay, so this is good reproof for them. So they all went in, all right, later on. Then what?
Verse 13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed.
So he was just reiterating that the Lord's anger was kindled back then before, 38 years previously. Okay, then what else?
Verse 14, and behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. Verse 15, for if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Translation, verse 1 through 15. The tribes east of the Jordan. The tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. So when they saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks and herds, verse 2, they came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders of the people. They said, verse 3, quote, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeh, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon. Verse 4, the Lord has conquered this whole area for the people of Israel. It is ideally suited for all our flocks and herds. Verse 5, if we have found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us land across the Jordan River. Unquote. Verse 6, quote, do you mean you want to stay back here while your brothers go across and do all the fighting? Unquote. Moses asked the Reubenites and Gadites. Verse 7, are you trying to discourage the rest of the people of Israel from going across to the land the Lord has given them? Verse 8, this is what your ancestors did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. Verse 9, after they went up to the valley of Eshcol and scouted the land, they discouraged the people of Israel from entering the land the Lord was giving them. Verse 10, then the Lord was furious with them, and he vowed, verse 11, quote, "Of all those I rescued from Egypt, no one who is 20 years old or older will ever see the land I solemnly promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they have not obeyed me completely." Verse 12. The only exceptions are Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they have wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Unquote. Verse 13. The Lord was furious with Israel and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until the whole generation that sinned against him had died. Verse 14. But here you are, a brood of sinners, doing exactly the same thing. You are making the Lord even angrier with Israel. Verse 15. If you turn away from him like this, and he abandons them again in the wilderness, you will be responsible for destroying this entire nation! Exclamation mark, unquote. King James Version, verse 16. And they came near unto him and said, "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones." Verse 17. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Verse 18. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. Verse 19. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan, or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan, eastward. Verse 20. And Moses said unto them, "If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war," verse 21, "and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him," verse 22, "and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord." Verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Verse 24. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. Verse 25. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, "Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth." Verse 26. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. Verse 27. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. Verse 28. So concerning them Moses commanded Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 29. And Moses said unto them, "If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle, before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession." Verse 30. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Translation, verse 16 through 30. But they responded to Moses, quote, "We simply want to build sheepfolds for our flocks and fortified cities for our wives and children." Verse 17. Then we will arm ourselves and lead our fellow Israelites into battle until we have brought them safely to their inheritance. Meanwhile, our families will stay in the fortified cities we build here, so they will be safe from any attacks by the local people. Verse 18. We will not return to our homes until all people of Israel have received their inheritance of land. Verse 19. But we do not want any of the land on the other side of the Jordan. We would rather live here on the east side, where we have received our inheritance. Unquote. Verse 20. Then Moses said, quote, "If you keep your word and arm yourselves for the Lord's battles," verse 21, "and if your troops cross the Jordan until the Lord has driven out his enemies," verse 22, "then you may return when the land is finally subdued before the Lord. You will have discharged your duty to to the Lord and to the rest of the people of Israel.
That's just like, you know, in the, the people here in the church, they have a desire, a lot of people, that when they're told to do something, to build something, they don't want to really build for other people. So they just take their time. It's like they just think that the amount of people that we have in the church now is the amount of people that we're always going to have, and there will always be some that will not be in the church, and so they don't lay a finger to build anything or redecorate or remodel or do anything like that. It's like they're not part of the war. The war is that we have to provide, also, not only coming against Satan and preaching the gospel, but we have to provide places for the people that the Lord wants to win to the Lord and bring them into the congregation. And the Lord says that we have to work while it's still day. And so there's a lot of people that are teaching people in the church, hey, don't put in a full day's work. Beat out, you know, be real slothful, be a sluggard. Don't help out with the work. Don't get involved. Let somebody else go in there out in the hot sun and build. Try to make up excuses, you know, that you're sick, you should stay in the house. Some of these things like that. But like the word says, your sins will find you out. Even in households, people just say, well, everybody's stupid but me, so I'll just let somebody else wash the dishes. I'll let somebody else vacuum the floor. I know it's my duty, but I mean, I'll be back here talking to somebody or just sleeping in or something like that. They're not part of the Israelites, because all the Israelites had to be marching around Jericho, every single one of them. Amen?
Amen.
The army. Otherwise, they're not part of the body of Christ. They're not part of the work of God. And I could elaborate on that for hours, because I've seen this sort of thing going on before I was saved, how that people just beat out. I've worked in warehouses before. I've worked on 100 different jobs in restaurants, in hotels, in around bowling alleys, around the health studios. I've been around the garment industry. I've been in so many different things. I've been in the Navy. I've been in institutions, all sorts of them, and I've seen this kind of thing, and when you see it in the house of the Lord, it makes you despise this type of person that you see. It's no wonder the Lord's anger is kindled at people like that. They just never want to be part of the army of the Lord, and therefore nothing really gets done. And so I had to get, the Lord sends in finances, so I have to hire unsaved people to work with the speed that the Lord wants things done. And we're still way behind because of the people's indifference towards work in the Lord for the things that the Lord wants to get done. And so, you know, you people that are that way, don't think that it's not known by the Lord, and don't think that it's not known by me. I know who you are. And when the Lord's anger is kindled, he's going to make me put you out with the Gentiles. And, you know, I really don't want to do that. But if, and the Lord doesn't really want you to leave, but you better get busy if you want to be part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what this chapter is all about. It's just, you know, everybody works. Everybody's got to be part of the unit. We're the minority in the world, and everybody has to do their share, okay? Because if you don't do your dishes and I have to, then I can't be in writing and doing messages and doing business and organizing all the different people in the church. I can't be praying as I must. And so you, no matter how low you think you are in the structure of the body of Christ, you're causing the whole body of Christ to be in pain. it doesn't make any difference how insignificant you may think your little toe is. If somebody smashes it and you're in constant pain, your whole body cannot function the way that it ordinarily does. All right? And so, or if your eye, somebody pokes a pencil in your eye, you're going to be a handicap for quite a while. Or if somebody cuts your ear off or smashes your nose for you, you're going to have to take a lot of time out to go to a doctor or, you know, ask the Lord to heal you. And you don't want to spend your time with that sort of thing. You want to get everybody in unison as the body of Christ. And if you think that you're going to hoodwink people that have the Spirit of the Lord into thinking that you're really doing an enormous amount of work when you're really just a deadbeat, you're crazy. Because God knows it, and He also tells His people, His prophets, who you are and just what you amount to. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on.
And the land on the east side of the Jordan will be your inheritance from the Lord.
Yeah, that's contingent, or if you get in there and start hustling with the rest of us. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you don't, if you think you're just going to sleep all day or do whatever you do and not do what you're supposed to do, it's not going to work. Okay, then what?
Verse 23. But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out.
Right. See, not only do people not keep their word because they say the Lord says we have to work with zeal. I mean, that's with the cloak of zeal. In other words, where the cloak is flying in the air all the time as you're moving. And if you're not moving like that, it's easy to see somebody that's spirited and on the run. Amen?
Amen.
And it's easy to see somebody that's just rooted into a chair on their behind. And they don't do a thing. And you can't see any great production out of them whatsoever. You're not part of the body of Christ. Now, I caution you in love, get busy with the rest of us. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, yeah, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. These people, the kingdom of heaven, like the promised land, is symbolic of the land of promise or the kingdom of heaven. So there's a lot of them that couldn't get in because all they did was like to murmur and complain. And, you know, sure, yeah, none of us like to get up. A man came over. I was putting in a new light today down, and I just hadn't had much sleep at all. They said, I have to get up and go and tell him where to put the light, a street light, because we're developing a new area, and I want a street light out there. So I had to get dressed and go out into the sun and go over and show him exactly where to put the light. And there was a problem out there because he said, well, we don't have electricity this far, and you've beautified this street and everything, and we don't want to dig the street up. Would it be all right if we put it over here? And I said, I looked around, and I said, yeah, that'll be fine. And then he sat there and he stood there, both of us in the street, and he wanted to talk, because I've met him before. And we talked. And there's times that other people come into town, and I have to get up and go. I had to get up this morning early, too, with hardly any sleep at all. And some of the brothers came in to frame up the new duplex down here. And so we had to banter this about. And then there's other people that are calling. And I had to get up and do that. But I don't murmur and complain about it. I have to get up. I know that the work of the Lord's not going to get done if I don't get up and take care of it. Okay? And I don't want everybody in the church to suffer. If I don't do it, then there's nobody else that God has called to do my job. And there's nobody else that God has called to do your job either. Every one of you. Amen?
Amen.
And so you better do it. Otherwise, you're hurting the entire body of Christ. So try to remember that. That's what this chapter is all about. Then what?
Verse 24. Go ahead and build towns for your families and sheepfolds for your flocks, but do everything you have said. Unquote.
Well, what I would have said is, look, you want your wives and children to be over here safe. Then, you know, what about our wives and children? We're not going to be safe. I want them to, you're going to have to take care of all them too. Let them stay behind. Amen?
Amen.
This doesn't seem fair to me. All right? I would have said all of Israel's children and why to stay over here in these fortified cities. But now they just said these two tribes. But if you had real faith, the Bible says that the Lord is going before you anyway, right?
Right.
So you don't worry about your wives and kids because God's going before you and he's going to drive them out. Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't the Israelites that knocked down the walls of Jericho. Those walls were 12 feet thick. So thick that actually people could live in those walls, such as Rahab, who they went in there and the two spies, and she was a prostitute. And the Lord told them to go into her home, not to have sexual relations with her or anything, but that was a house that was trafficked quite a bit. A lot of people coming and going in there all day long. And so it was no unusual thing to see men going in and out of there. So that was the safest place where the Holy Spirit led them to be. Amen?
Amen.
That's why they were there. A lot of people say, well, they went in there and they had some, they were with those prostitutes. They were in with the prostitute, and she knew that they were, that she had known and heard of their reputation, how that God had destroyed all the cities around and about them. And so she was scared to death of them. She was fearful. And the fear of God was in her. And she wasn't about to have sexual relationships with these people. She probably stopped being a prostitute altogether. Because she knew that they were coming in. So did the king of Jericho, knew that those people were coming in to destroy Jericho, because they knew they were sinners. So you think about that. So those walls were mighty. Amen?
Amen.
12 feet thick. That's why she had a house in there. There's windows in the walls where she let down this cord or this rope that was scarlet, symbolizing the blood of Jesus, so that her family wouldn't be destroyed. It wasn't the Israelites that knocked that wall down. God went before them. So if I had a wife and children, I wouldn't worry about them at all. God says he's going to go in there and destroy everybody, and that we weren't going to have any, just like the with the other people. Not one person was killed. Amen?
Amen.
So that's probably a bunch of brave people, people that trusted the Lord, that had faith in him, because they were keeping the commandments of the Lord. They didn't worry about dying or their little ones to be dead. As a matter of fact, they actually took over the whole country. God gave it to them. God destroyed the people. All right, then what?
Verse 25. Then the people of Gad and Reuben replied, quote, "We are your servants and will follow your instructions exactly." Verse 26. "Our children, wives, flocks, and cattle will stay here in the towns of Gilead." Verse 27. "But, sir, all who are able to bear arms will cross over to fight for the Lord, just as you have said." Unquote.
So any of the men under the age of 20, they were gone anyway. All right? They had to stay back, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
Verse 28. So Moses gave orders to Eleazar, Joshua, and the tribal leaders of Israel. Verse 29. He said, quote, "If all the men of Gad and Reuben who are able to fight the Lord's battles cross the Jordan with you, then when the land is conquered, you must give them the land of Gilead as their property." Verse 30. "But if they refuse to cross over and march ahead of you, then they must accept land with the rest of you in the land of Canaan." Unquote.
So they went ahead of them because their wives and children were not there. Amen?
Amen.
You want to keep them back? Well, then you go up in front. All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 31. "And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, As the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do." Verse 32. "We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours." Verse 33. "And Moses gave unto them, even the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coasts, even the cities of the country round about."
See, that's east of the Jordan, right?
Yes.
So it is the half tribe of Manasseh too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, just like I said in the beginning. Okay, what else?
Verse 34. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Ataroth and Aroer. Verse 35. And Ataroth, Shophan, and Jazer, and Jogbeha. Verse 36. And Beth Nimra and Beth Haran, fenced cities and folds for sheep. Verse 37. And the children of Reuben built Heshbon and Elealeh and Kirjah Thaim. Verse 38. And Nebo and Baal Meon, their names being changed, and Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. Verse 39. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. Verse 40. And Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. Verse 41. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof, and called them Havoth Jair. Verse 42. And Nobah went and took Kenath, and the villages thereof, and called it Nobah, after his own name. Translation, verse 31 through 42. The tribes of Gad and Reuben said again, quote, Sir, we will do as the Lord has commanded! Exclamation mark. Verse 32. We will cross the Jordan into Canaan fully armed to fight for the Lord, but our inheritance of land will be here on this side of the Jordan. Unquote. Verse 33. So Moses assigned to the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the territory of King Sihon of the Amorites, and the land of King Og of Bashan, the whole land with its towns and surrounding lands.
They really didn't have to build too much. They just took over those towns and lived in these king's towns. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Pretty well pre-made. Prefabbed. Then what else?
Verse 34. The people of Gad built the towns of Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer. Verse 35. Ataroth, Shophan, Jazer, Jogbeha. Verse 36.
Yeah, and if you saw the way that they build towns, I've been through ancient city of Ai and a lot of other those cities, and all it is each one of those houses are just made out of rocks. They just stacked rocks on top of each other and put some mud, slapped some mud in there, and they were just kind of like very small huts. All those houses, I mean, the whole town of Ai is just like one whole, like several city blocks, both long and wide, of these little huts. They look like they're about 12 feet by 12 feet. Like a small bedroom, or some of them were like maybe 12 feet by 20 feet, 15 feet by 12 feet, things like that. That's considered a town back then. All right. Of course, they all them together, there's all kinds of rocks around the place. They just build it real fast. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Beth Nimra and Beth Haran.
I mean, you know, they weren't doing any, studded walls and insulation and sheetrock and stuff like that, or shingles and shakes and flooring, tile and carpeting. None of that. All right, what else?
These were all fortified cities with sheepfolds for their flocks. Verse 37. The people of Reuben built the towns of Heshbon, Elealeh, Kiriathaim. Verse 38. Nebo, Baal Meon, and Sibma. They changed the names of some of the towns they conquered and rebuilt. Verse 39. Then the descendants of Machir of the tribe of Manasseh went to Gilead and conquered it, and they drove out the Amorites who were living there. Verse 40. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, descendants of Manasseh, and they lived there. 41. The people of Jair, another clan of the tribe of Manasseh, captured many of the towns in Gilead, and changed the name of that region to the towns of Jair. Verse 42. Meanwhile, a man named Nobah captured the town of Kenath and its surrounding villages, and he renamed that area Nobah after himself.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 32 of Numbers, and now we have some commentary.
32, verse 1 through 42. This chapter begins the occupation of the Promised Land, the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, at least as it pertains to the east side of the Jordan River. 2.5 tribes chose to settle in this territory that was recently conquered and because it was suitable for livestock. They had a lot of livestock. Verses 1 through 5. The concern of Moses is whether the real motive for their desire to stay on the other side of Jordan is whether they feared entering the Promised Land, which had been the downfall of the first generation, verses 6 through 15, or whether they really wanted it for their cattle. That issue is resolved by a commitment on the part of the 2.5 tribes to participate in the conquest of the Promised Land. Their request to live east of the Jordan is granted, verses 16 through 42. 32, verse 7. To discourage the heart of the other tribes by not participating in the conquest of the land west of the Jordan would be tantamount to, or the same thing as what the spies did in chapters 13 and 14, as verse 9 makes clear. Their actions would have implications for all Israel, verse 15. It would be stacking or mounting evil upon evil, the same evil that they were cursed to stay out on the desert in the wilderness for another 38 years. 32 verse 8 through 13. You can see the notes on chapter 13. 32 verse 23. Quote, "Be sure your sin will find you out," unquote, is a statement that is often misunderstood. It is not that the sin will be uncovered on the day of judgment and there punished by the Lord, but that an evil deed will come back on the heads of the evildoers in this world as well as in the world to come.
And that's just the way it is today. A lot of people can't figure out why they're cursed, why there's so many crop failures because of all kinds of aphids and other kind of bugs and contaminants, and even this contaminant in the soil. What's that? Anthrax is in the soil where they eat close to the ground because there's not enough grass because of drought, and the cattle catch it. It's almost getting impossible to eat meat anymore because of the mad cow disease and all the other contaminants that are in cows and chickens. Almost everybody's probably going to have to become pretty soon a vegetarian. That's why the Lord tells you to ask the Lord to bless your food, because it's so contaminated today that many people have died from the type of food that they're eating. I watch the farm report all the time, and there's such a fight to keep crops alive and to get any kind of yield out of the ground anymore. It shows pictures of aphids all over soybeans and all kinds of other things that people are trying to grow today. Corn and wheat and milo and all the kind of vegetables and fruit. And then the sprays that they put on them are so powerful that they could kill you as well. So you really have to pray over your food. Not only to be thankful for it, but to thank the Lord for making it pure enough to where it doesn't kill you. All right, then what? He says no poisonous thing will kill you if you believe, in other words, to pray over it. And if you believe the Lord's entire word and do what he says, if you're part of the work of the Lord, if you're not shrugging your duties and imposing more duties on other people, making your the job that you're supposed to do fall upon other people. It's like you're of the devil, because the Bible says that the devil will wear out the saints in the last day, and you're part of his work if you're not doing your job. Is that clear? Does that ring true? All right, then what?
What they sow, they will reap. Quote, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," unquote. 32, verse 28 through 30. In light of Moses' impending death, see chapter 31, verse 2, Eleazar and Joshua, the new leaders of the second generation, are informed of the settlers' obligations. 32 verse 38, quote, "their names being changed," unquote, of these cities, refers to the two preceding names, which contain the names of pagan deity, false gods, thus necessitating a name change for the followers of the Lord of Yahweh.
Yeah, that's why they changed the name of those cities, because they were named after gods that are not God. Well, that was the last commentary on the book of Numbers, chapter 32, and we'll be doing chapter 33 later today, God willing. And so remember, not only think about it, but remember to do your part and to join the rest of spiritual Israel in their fight against Satan. And I know a lot of people, I can see them shifting around and scratching their head when I'm saying this, and they're the very people that never feel that the Word of God is supposed to be applicable to themselves. At the time of service, they're usually locked inside of a bathroom or sitting in a bathtub or something. These are the kind of people that always have got something more important to do than be a part of the work of the Lord. And so the message that I bring from the Lord, I bring this evening, and is from the book of Numbers, chapter 32, which is of the Lord, depicting, you know, that we have to help shoulder the work. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so meditate on, think about it and do it. Don't just meditate, you know, we're not supposed to sit around and think. You're supposed to, as you're working, think and meditate upon the Lord all day long. Until chapter 33, God bless, and I mean it, that He will bless you. I don't have to say it. He will bless you if you do what He says. So praise the Lord in the fact that we can rest assured that He will do it if we do our part. Praise the Lord.